Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, first 14 verses, Bible says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Lord, we come to you this morning. Celebrating your atonement. Celebrating your forgiveness. Celebrating your presence in this place, that you would speak to us, Lord. Help us to understand your word. Help us, like Aaron, to receive a new message every morning. Lord, that you would speak to us and direct our year and guide and direct us through this coming time of challenge for each of us, that we might draw closer to you and know you better. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Mike, would you turn that mic light switch off back there, please? Tradition holds that Samuel was 12 years old. We get that from Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, studied such things, lived about, time of Christ, 100 years afterward. And 12 years old, we have a 13-year-old in our home receiving some instruction yesterday. School starts when, youth? School starts on Tuesday. So young JJ, Master JJ, was reviewing his math yesterday, somewhat reluctantly, I might add. You know, why do I got to get ready for school? And so he was going through some algebraic equations and problems and just kind of figuring them out in his head. You know, they're so easy. Just be able to figure them out in my head and say, well, JJ, you really need to be able to go through the processes. Nah, I can figure it out in my head. Not really open to instruction. I said, well, these problems are going to get harder, and you're not going to be able to figure it out in your head, and if you don't know the process, you won't be able to figure them out. Oh, I can get it. And I said, well, let's see. And so I found some more complicated problems. which did indeed involve fractions and negative numbers and all those fun things that do require the appropriate steps and processes to figure out. And all of a sudden, he was very open to input and instruction. Life gets harder. Can I get a witness? Life makes opportunity for us to receive instruction. Question for you today is, are you ready for some help? I like that. Yeah. Wow. 2014 got me ready. Series, Guided by God. We read stories of those that, just in 1 Samuel, of those that are guided and those that are not. Read today about God speaking to Samuel. And he was getting ready. He was ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to receive. And what he didn't understand, he was going to work on so that he could. Sound good? Amen? We have been studying this chart, and in fact, I did not put it on your paperwork today, but the last couple weeks I have, which diagrams our relationship with God, with ourselves, with others, and the rest of creation. And we've been talking, I've asked you over the past 2 weeks to label those. 1 through 4, which is best, which is worst? Which are you going to excel in, and what are you going to struggle with in 2015? And it gives us the opportunity to put a focus on some areas of our lives for growth. Amen? Amen. That relationship with God, Bible tells us, Samuel did not yet have one. Yet he was ministering faithfully under Eli. So there you can have some that are stronger and some that are not so strong. But as Samuel develops that relationship with God, all of his other relationships are thereby strengthened. Amen. And I want to let you know today that if your relationship with God is not number one, that would be a fabulous place to start for 2015. If it is number one and you have some struggles, if it's not number one and you have some struggles in some of those other areas, we want to help you with those as well. But let me just tell you, the key to your life will be unlocked as that relationship with God gets stronger. Amen? So, we are going to be taking a look at the call of Samuel. And God is talking to Samuel, and the word of the Lord was rare. We look back before the time of King David. We actually look back approximately 3,100 years, and things have changed. Things are different now. In fact, the prophet Joel, who prophesied, get this right, 700 years after Samuel. I'm going to do the math in my head. 2,400 years ago. Tells us this. That guy is quick. Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29, Apostle Peter referenced this on the day of Pentecost. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Here we read about God speaking directly to and through Samuel. And Joel talks about a day that would come when God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the Apostle Peter tells us that indeed, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that happened. That God did indeed pour out his spirit on all people, your sons and daughters. It doesn't matter if you are male or female, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Amen? So my question for you this morning is, are you ready to hear? Are you preparing? to hear. And what will you do when you hear from the Lord? Title of today's message is A Message from Above. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. All right. Eli's not paying attention. I hope today if you hear the Lord, and I trust, Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is right here among us. So the Lord Jesus Christ, through the miracle of his omnipotence and omnipresence, where he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere, all at once, he is right here, speaking to your heart, speaking to your soul, and speaking to your mind this morning, that if you hear, if you are ready to hear, if you're paying attention to him, we got to be ready to move. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli in those days. The word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. And the message of God is not getting out. Eli was the high priest. He was top dog. He was the guy who ran the temple. He was God's man. 40 years, and there was just not much going on. Word of the Lord was rare. Word of the Lord was precious. There just wasn't much of it. And as we read this book, 1 Samuel, you can be surprised. You know, you read the book of Judges, and you got Gideon, you got Samson, man, you got some action going on, you man. You got Malachites, you got Philistines, you got people attacking, you got the man of God being empowered by God and overcoming the enemy, and you come into 1 Samuel, you've got Hannah calling out to God and God blessing her. Chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, we have the man of God who brings a prophecy against Eli and says, God's not happy with you. Sometimes you hear the message of the Lord, and the message is, God's not happy with you. Can I get a witness on that? The thing is, are you ready to hear that? And what do you do with that when you hear it? Sometimes you get a well done, rev it up, and let's do some more. And you think, wait a minute, I was just getting ready to kick back. Hear from the Lord, he's usually talking to you about God-sized things and God-sized subjects and things that we aren't normally doing on our own. Because if you're doing them on your own, he doesn't need to talk to you about them. Amen? It's kind of like JJ doing his math. He needs a little discussion to kind of motivate him in that area. And sometimes God needs to have a discussion with us to motivate us into a new area. Can I get a witness? So in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. But now if you're reading chapter 2, there was all kinds of word coming right at Eli, coming right at God's man. God's not happy with you. But that's not the kind of word that you're really going to publicize, especially if you're Eli. You know what I'm talking about? Eli's not going to get up in the temple and say, God is not happy with me. God is bringing judgment against me and my family. You might keep that one a little bit secret. And so the word of the Lord is tied into the man of God who's going to bring that word. It's not as if there was no message. It's just there was no messenger. And the Lord's word was rare. There was like a kink in the hose. The line was clogged. No problem with the message. Problem with the messenger. Eli's not getting it done. Eli is not paying attention. Word is not getting out. But the boy Samuel is ministering before the Lord. The Bible says if you're faithful in the small things, you'll be trusted with the big things. Amen? Amen? That's what we're talking about today, is a little transition going to happen. A picture of failure. One night, I mean, this is the night of change, amen? One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of, just kicking back, kicking it. I don't know how long Eli's been kicking it. Been a while. Lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Hardly a picture of vitality. We read in the last chapter that Eli was getting a little heavy. So he's old and fat and kind of getting blind. Don't know if he's a candidate for the NFL. Contrast 2 Kings chapter 2. Prophet Elijah, end of his ministry, taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. I mean, that's like Super Bowl right there, you know? I mean, whew. And Elisha, his assistant, is chasing him all around Israel saying, hey, 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 give me the anointing, give me the anointing. And he's going, I got to go. You stay here. No, I'm not leaving your side. I'm not leaving your side. And they get to the Jordan, and Elijah rolls up his cloak and goes, whack, and divides the Jordan River in the same way that Moses divided the sea, the Red Sea. Now, tell you what, to me, that's the way a prophet should go, amen? That's a picture of vitality. This is hardly the picture we get in Eli. Bible says that the lamp had not yet gone out. That Eli is in the place, his normal place, his bed, his couch, or whatever it was, kicking back, and the lamp had not yet gone out. And I'm reading that, and I'm going, ding, 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 this is not good. And I read back in Leviticus chapter 24, where they talk about the lamp of the Lord. And it says, command the Israelites, this is God talking to Moses on the top of the mountain, amen? Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, because they would put it in lamps and that oil would burn, okay? For the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning continually. Now, continually to me means don't let it go out. Right? And what do we read in 1 Samuel? The lamp had not yet gone out. Like, it's always going out. He says, in fact, let it be, go back to Leviticus, outside the curtain of the testimony, the tent of meeting, that's where Samuel was hanging, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from morning till evening continually. Aaron was the high priest. He said, it's so important for these lamps to be kept going all day, every day, continually. I want you to manage them at night. Because if they're going to go out, they're going to go out at night. So high priest takes care of the lamps at night. Your responsibility, never let them go out. Where's Eli? Kicking back in the place where he's normally kicking back. When? Before the lamp goes out. Now, I don't know if this was a one-time shot. But if it was, oh my, never supposed to go out. I don't know if it happened every night. But if it did, oh my. Because a lamp is never supposed to go out. Eli's not getting it done. Eli's in his regular spot, and the lamp's going out like regular. Some of us need a new spot. Some of us need a new routine for 2015. Amen? Joey and I have started reading the Word at 6:30 every morning. Didn't read this morning. Because I was getting ready to preach and he was sleeping. But it is the 18th, and I would think that probably 14 days out of 18 that we have been up at 6:30 reading the Word. Come Tuesday, JJ will be added to the mix. Yes. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I don't know about Joe, but as I start my day in the Word, I am fine-tuned to the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting some stuff from the Lord. Are you ladies freezing? Is that why you're moving? I'm just invigorated up here in these lamps. Let me just turn that AC unit right off. 69 glorious degrees in the summer. You guys would be doing backflips. But not in the winter. Fine-tuned to the Word of the Lord. Got three massive things just baking in my heart. I want to be a messenger from God. I want to hear from God. Hope you want to hear from God. Real question is, what are you going to do when you hear? If you're not hearing, are you getting ready to hear? Because it's not a problem with a message. Issues with the messenger. Amen? That's just one? Amen?
Amen?
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. Okay. See, Samuel is paying attention. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel, he said, amazingly. You know what's amazing to me is God speaks to Samuel in a language that Samuel can understand. Doesn't talk to Samuel in some God language that Samuel can't figure out what is he saying. No. You know what? God's going to speak to you. He's probably not going to speak to you in Swahili. Unless, of course, your best language is Swahili. You know, he's probably not going to speak to you, as much as I like what Aaron read today, in King James English. Thou art mine. Probably not. What he's going to do is he's going to speak right to your heart. Right to your. Now, you might struggle with what he means. But you're not going to have a problem understanding what he's saying. Amen? Why? Because he's not limited in his ability to speak every language he knows. Amen? And if you don't have the capacity to hear, if you don't have the capacity to fathom language with your brain, if you're one of these children that is born with their brain outside of their skull, that is no problem for God. Because God can speak right into your soul and says, I am your creator and I have created you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? I know exactly how I made you. And I'm going to spend, you receive me and I'll spend eternity with you. Brain inside your head or out. Don't matter to me. Matters to me what you say. No problem with the message. Problem is with the messenger. Here I am, Samuel answered. And he ran to Eli. Getting it wrong. Stupid little 12-year-old kid getting it wrong. And God says, oh, I can't use you. Anybody, you guys ever got the word or the message of the Lord wrong? I'm looking at my word right here. He doesn't give up on Samuel the first time, second time, third time, or fourth time. Calls him again, Samuel. See, God will get his message through. The question is how you're going to answer. Amen? He says, here I am, you called me, as he went to Eli. Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. I am thinking that Eli is asleep. I don't know, it does not say, but I'm not feeling that Eli was there tending that lamp. He didn't say, Samuel, quit bugging me, man. I got to work on keeping the lamp going. He was laying down. Not me, kid. Quit bugging me. Does not say, quit bugging me. Go back and lie down. So he went and laid down, and again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I'm putting some emphasis in there, it's mine. He could have said, oh, my son. My son, Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, And that's all caps on that Lord. Speak, Jehovah. Speak, Yahweh. King of kings, Lord of lords. For your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. God speaks to Samuel. God speaks to him in a language that he can understand. God speaks to Samuel, and Samuel doesn't even know him. God spoke to me. I didn't know. God speaks to any of you. First time he speaks to you, you don't know him. Maybe the second time, maybe the third, maybe the 50th, maybe the 100th. For Samuel, it was at least two. You're going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is because he is starting a work in you. Amen? Samuel's not doing anything to initiate this conversation. The only thing Samuel's doing is being faithful and being a good young minister under the leadership of Eli. Amazingly, Samuel has been raised in the temple and does not know God. You can spend every day in the church and still not know God. Right. It's only when he speaks to your heart and you say, yes, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Yes. You come to know him. Phinehas and Hophni were Eli's sons. They too were raised in the temple, and they too did not know God. Big difference between Samuel and Phinehas and Hophni. That were Phinehas and Hophni, when they heard the message of God, they said no, and Samuel was on his toes, on the edge of his seat, ready to say yes. My question for you today is, what are you going to say to God when he calls your name? What are you going to say to God when he speaks to your heart? What are you going to say to God today when he says, well done, keep it going? When he says, not well done, time to do an about face. When he says, hey, I got things for you to do. And you say, I'm a little busy. Got my own action going on. Because Phinehas and Hophni, they were too busy. They had their own action going on. They did not know God. And it was not because he did not speak to them. Now, we got no record. We have no record of God ever speaking to Phinehas and Hophni. But I believe God speaks to everyone. Everybody gets an opportunity to say yes, and everybody gets an opportunity to say no. And my question for you today is, what is your answer? The Lord spoke to me when I was 6, when I was 10, when I was 13. Sometimes it was yes, sometimes it was, I'm a little busy. But I'll tell you what, when I was hiding from the cops, I wanted to get his attention. I kid you not, I was 15 hiding from the cops going, Lord, save me and I will serve you. Look at me now. God hears those prayers. If you made that prayer and you've been sliding away, he hadn't forgot. He might be reminding you right now, remember that time? You know what I'm talking about. All right. Lord is going to make a change. He says, the Lord came and stood there. You could, if you got your Bible, circle stood. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And I want you to notice that God did not stop. That he doesn't even appear to be angry. Look, kid, you're bugging me. You made me come all the way down from heaven to get your attention. Doesn't say that. Says that he came and stood as Samuel was understanding what and who was going on in his life. Speak, for your servant is listening. And God comes and stands near to Samuel. And says, I'm getting ready to do something that's going to make the ears of everyone tingle. I want to hear. Amen? I mentioned the fact that he came He spoke four times because we can get the feeling that God's message is fragile. Watch out! God's speaking, don't mess it up! You know what? He's the creator of the universe. He knows a number of hairs on my head. He knows my whole life. He wants to get my attention. I don't think, drop the Bible, God's king. You know what? God's going to keep on speaking to you, speaking to your heart, keeping to your soul until you give him a yes or a no. Now, Samuel gave him four, I don't know what's going on. God can get past, I don't know what's going on. God can heat up your life to make you aware that you need some assistance in the way that I did with JJ on those math problems. Oh, this is over my head, Lord. I can just point the cops right at you. Lord, Lord, help me. I'll tell you what, you only know the Lord when you're on the street. Guess where the Lord's going to keep you? On the street. You only know the Lord inside prison. He will keep you in prison. Because guess what? He wants to know you. And you can't handle your freedom and you go out and you make a mess of your life. He's got plenty of jail cells. He says, here you go, me and you. No complications. No problem. How many people know somebody that can only know the Lord inside? Amen? Only know the Lord when they got drama. I'll tell you what, you learn to know the Lord when you got good stuff going on. Good stuff will go on. He got no problem. Good stuff, bad stuff. I just want to know you. I got some stuff for you to do. He wants to speak. Question is, what's your answer? Samuel's figuring out, getting the picture. Speak, for your servant is listening. This is surrender. This is submission. This is, you are the boss, Lord. What do you want me to do? Are you ready to hear from God? It can be a challenge. Our culture has got so much stuff going on. We are barraged. I started getting, I don't know if this is new to me. I started getting spammed on my phone. You know, where I go, oh my. I mean, I get, you know, 30, 40 spams on my email account by 10 o'clock in the morning. I never got one on my phone before. And I'm like, oh no, they got my phone number now. At our house, we don't even answer the phone because we get so many telemarketers. We get nobody there, you know, and the phone rings and the answer machine's on. My wonderful daughter, we leave her message on the machine just so we can hear her voice. You've reached the Met's house. We're not able to get the phone right now, but leave a message. We'll get back to you. God bless you. Nothing. Just dead air or whatever, you know, and or telemarketer. And sometimes it's grandma. When it's grandma, people start jumping out of the couch and, man, run, it's grandma, don't let her, it's Aunt Laura, oh man, go, go, go. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. When you hear his voice, bam, be ready to respond. Speak, Lord, speak, Lord. I am right here. You have my attention. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Last thing, the message. This is the content. It's not good for Eli. Not good for Eli. God is ready to judge. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family. This is his boss, remember? From beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever. I'll tell you what, you get to judgment day, folks, it lasts forever. You can circle that forever if you got your Bible there. Because of the sin he knew about. Not his sin, per se, but the sin he knew about in his home. You say, wait a minute, that's not fair, that's not fair. Well, I guess you can just tell to the judge. He says, his sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Little side note, no extra charge. What do you got going on in your family? What do you got going on in your home? You got some stuff you know about that you should be restraining, and you're not? That's what happened in Eli's house. God's judging the house of Eli. They have said no to God. Back to our diagram. They did not know God, so this relationship up here does not exist. They were priests in the temple of God. They were ripping off the people. So their relationship with others was messed up. Because they were ripping off the temple, that rest of creation, all their surroundings is messed up. And I got to think, because they're messing with the women who work in the temple, that their image of themselves was possibly a little higher than it maybe it should have been. Can I get a witness on that? So as you take a look at the sons of Eli, you see all of these relationships are messed up. And God's bringing judgment on the house of Eli. God's bringing judgment on Eli as well. Now, as I said last week, Eli did pretty good with Samuel. Here we see, oh man, God's talking to you. Go, and when he speaks, you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And at one time, Eli knew God. But his sons were no good. His sons were no good because he let them be no good. Train a child in the way he should go when he's young, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Amen? You know what? I know everybody tell you, don't spank your kids. Spank them. It'll help them. Don't spank them when they're 15. Give them an iPod and then take that thing away. Give them an Xbox, take it away. What you got to do is you got to make an impact. What you want to do is rearrange. All these kids are going, what? I'm not coming to youth group anymore. And I say that to kind of give a little chuckle, but I'm serious. There needs to be some discipline in your home. Now, check it out. What happens with, this is Samuel now, and his relationship with others, his sons, is damaged because his sons are incorrigible. His sons are ripping off the people as they bring offerings to the Lord. I mean, as far as priests go, that's pretty bad. I mean, sleeping with the women who work in the temple, I mean, that's right up there. Eli knows. Chapter 2, he says, man, you kids, you got to stop doing this. I'm hearing about it from all Israel. And they say, we don't care about you, old man. Day my son says, I don't care about you, old man, is the day he packs his bags. Because he needs to realize there's ramifications for his statements. Amen? Like, hey, man, you know what? It's cold out there. Go find out how cold it is, and we'll have another discussion. So, he should have restrained his sons. He did not. What happens? Back in chapter 2, it says that he began to fatten himself on the offerings that his sons were stealing. He begins to join his sons in their sin. And so what happens is he chooses his sons over God, and so this messed up relationship severs this one. And he can't control his sons, and so his self-image goes into the toilet, and his priesthood is messed up, and so his relationship, the people he had around with him, messed up everything in his life. My question is, who do you got around you that's messing up your life? What do you have around you? I'll tell you what, when I started smoking weed when I was 14, it messed up my life. When I started gambling, I was young. It messed up my life. You got stuff in there that will destroy the other relationships that you got going on, and specifically attack the Lord. Because the Lord says, I want you to give up that weed. The Lord says, I want you to give up that gambling. You say, no, I like it. You get into a pattern saying no to God. Am I talking to anybody? Or just me? So Eli's all messed up. Eli's kids took him off track. I know, you know what? I love my kids. I know you love your kids. Don't let your kids take you off track. Amen. Be a parent. Man, be a priest in your home. Eli's the high priest. He's also the high priest in his home. He wasn't doing either real well. Amen? Amen. All righty. God was with Samuel. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan, that's the top to the bottom, Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. God was with Samuel. God was backing Samuel up. The reason God was backing Samuel up, the reason God did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground is because Samuel's speaking God's words. And you start speaking God's words, he'll back you up too. Why? Because he's backing up his word. You start working his program, he will back you up. Why? Because you're working his program. Of course he wants you to succeed. The problem we get is that, God, would you join me in my program? He's like, I'm a little busy for that. I got God-sized stuff going on around. I'll allow you to join me. But I'm not going to join you. God stepped close to Samuel. God came near to Samuel. God's name came near to Israel because of Samuel. And God is still looking for opportunity. He'll come near to you. He'll come near to your family through you. He'll use you in a mighty way. He's looking for messengers. There's no problem with the message. The problem is the messengers. You pour out a spirit on all flesh. Are you ready? Now, I want you to notice what happened with Samuel. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now he knows the Lord. So that relationship on top is strong, right? Speak, Lord. He is submissive and he is humble before the Lord. He's got a right view of himself. The relationship with others, what does it say? All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel is the prophet of God. So, as God's relationship is solidified, solidifies relationship with himself, relationship with others, and God's spirit ministers through Shiloh. So, where he's at, the temple is strong. Samuel ministers for 40 years. Samuel, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You ready to hear? Are you ready to be so radically transformed in your existence that you would be called prophet of God? He's still looking. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Men and women, old and young, will prophesy. You ready? What's your answer? I'm going to end with a story that Jesus told. You want to come up, Lisa? Jesus told the parable of the seeds. And the seed goes out, and the seed is the word of God. And the seed goes on good ground, it goes on the path, it goes on the rocky ground, and it goes on the weedy ground. Okay? And Jesus says that the path, the seed that goes on the path, it just lays there on top. And as the guy who spread the seeds goes by, no, hey, hold on, ladies. Michelle, wait till after the seeds. This is the good part right here. I've been getting up to this whole thing. Michelle, or Monica, come back. The seed is on the path, and birds come and eat it up. And the disciples go to Jesus, what were you talking about? And he says, the bird's like the devil. Devil, come and take that word right out of your soul. Last week, we took a look at Eli's sons. They were called sons of the devil. That the word had come and that the devil had come right into the house of God and yanked him away from his father. Bible tells us that the seed goes into the rocky ground and it springs right up. But when times of persecution come, when times of testing come, when challenges come, that word is choked right out of your life. And that top relationship there with God would just be severed. Why? Because of the challenges that come in 2014. The challenges that come in 2015. Cut that right off at the top. Then he says that some of the seed falls in amongst the weeds. And the seed grows up. Oh, it's good seed. It's good seed. But the weed chokes out that seed and it dies. Steals the water, steals the sunlight. Jesus says that signifies the cares of life. See, some of you aren't paying attention even right now. You're thinking about, man, who's going to win the football game? I got to go to work. I got to go do this. What happens is the cares of life chop that relationship right off the top. Seed on the path, the seed on the rocks, and the seed in the weeds. All good seeds, the word of God. And none of it comes to anything. All the word that Hophni and Phinehas had received their whole life came to nothing. In fact, in Eli's case, it came to nothing. But Jesus says, there's seed that falls on good ground. And it goes deep, and the roots go deep, and the sun causes it to grow up, and it yields a harvest 100 times what was sown. Where are you at? You ready to hear from God? You saying, Lord, make me into 100. 100 time return. Speak to my heart. Speak, your servant is listening. Do you want to hear from the Lord this morning? Or are you just going, Lord, speak to my heart. 2015, I just want it to be radical. Just radical. God says, I do radical. My book is filled with radical. We're gonna end our time. You want to be radical for the Lord. You want to hear his voice. You want to say, speak, for your servant is listening. He's going to sing this song, "See Here I Breathe." Presence of the Lord. Very word spoken to me. I invite you to just come up and say, just kneel. Yeah, you're going to have, yeah, I feel so uncomfortable going up. Yeah, you know, radical is not comfortable. I'm telling you, man, it is not comfortable. I'm going to sing this song. The worship team doesn't need to come up right away. You guys can pray if you'd like. But we're going to stand. And you just want to be radically transformed by the word and power of God. Samuel, a kid, 12 years old, ministered for 40 years. Everybody knew he was the mouthpiece of God. Joel says, God will pour out his spirit on you today. Got to be ready to hear. Got to be open. Got to be ready for an about-face transformation in your life. Stand, would you? We're going to sing, I invite you to come and become radical for the Lord, and just kneel up here. It might be, you might have to kneel behind somebody. That's okay. The Lord still speak. Just kneel two rows deep. It's okay.